can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, we go here on a Wednesday. Al still out. The Eddie Scazzeri joins me. What's up, Edward?
Hello, podcast people.
I don't have a ton for you today, but something that came up from the Michael Rubin interview earlier today, which was odd because I've never been a part of an interview where you do 20 minutes, break for 20, and then come back and do 20 minutes again. But glad he came back. Yeah, I don't know if it's boring or not to you, but I was fascinated by listening to him and also in getting ready to do the interview, of which my three questions were asked. I did a lot of research and I did a lot of watching of him on podcasts and listening to him. But one thing he was talking about today that it just blows me away, and I heard him say it in a lot of different places, is talking about the will and the drive to succeed. And, you know, you can't, this is the new thing. It's probably not new, but anybody that's successful will say the same thing. You can't be afraid of failing. Everybody, aside from a select few, everybody wants to make more money. There's no question about it. We know that. That's why athletes that make $100 million want to make 110, want to make every last dollar they can, because it's always about more, 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 which there's a certain level of greed there, obviously, but we understand human nature. It's what it is. Have you ever had the drive and or the interest to start your own business to where you didn't have a boss, to where it was Eddie Scazzeri Inc., for whatever it might have been, hiking boots or maybe a ski situation? Or were you never that type where it just never interested you?
No, I was never interested.
Never once in your life you thought about owning your own business?
No, no. And, you know, there's people who are into that, like yourself and Michael Rubin. And there's other, the majority of people, I would say, are happy being worker bees.
Yeah, I've always wanted to from the, so that's true and it's not true. I always wanted to do this from the time I was a kid to going through high school. Like when I was in high school, I never thought to just run my own business and make a living. I did think about doing side things to add to my jobs, but I never thought that I would run my own company and have employees or anything of that nature. It wasn't until, for real, it was around, what was it, 2003 when I started the school thing that I thought, because of what I was doing, and I'm going to be honest with you, at that time I was on the overnight and I did not see a path to get off it because I didn't think anybody was going to leave in the foreseeable future. And so it was almost out of necessity. I got to try something else. And I figured, why not do something within this business, this media? And for a while, it really did go very well. And I had an opportunity until I didn't do it properly. And I got shut down for the most part. And then really up until recently, as I've gotten older and started to wonder about what day I come in and they ask me to leave, it's always been I need to figure something else out because I'm not qualified to do anything else. And I know I joke about it, but I don't want to go drive people to the airport to make money. So that's where, for me, that interest has really come into play. Have I started things? Sure. Things that I thought were going to make billions of dollars? No, never. But it is, I don't know, like listening to him talk, I asked the question, and I wasn't kidding. I asked him, like, when do you sleep? Because I don't understand how someone that is in charge on some level, because it is his company, of essentially, you know, thousands of employees, how does the phone ever rest?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to surround yourself with key staff that you trust that could take a lot of that responsibility from you, people that you trust, and that's how you make it work for yourself, or else you just go nuts.
But I wonder how you get there, though. When you're talking about so much money, but also more so than the money, if something's not handled the way you want it handled and you're the face of it, it's got to be hard to find those people that are going to do it the way you want it to be done.
There's also
something to be said for people coming up with other suggestions to make it better and you having the ear to listen.
Yes. Well, that's another skill, is to surround yourself with those kinds of people. And that's a skill in and of itself, to identify the traits in people that you say, okay, this is one of my guys. He thinks the way I think. He also thinks differently enough to challenge me, to make suggestions, and I will trust him to handle things when I want to have some time for myself. I'm going to pay him very well because I can, and that's how you do it.
Yeah, I suppose, because I do struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, partly because all the things I've done brings in a little bit of money, but nothing you can pay someone. Like, I've always said to my wife with the, you know, with the little cornhole business we do, mm-hmm. or league, whatever you want to call it, I have a partner, he helps me, we help each other, you know, make a little bit of money, but really nothing of significance. And we even had the conversation the other day, like, do we even keep doing this? Because for what we make, like, I make sure he gets his pay every month, his take. I haven't been taking a dime in 4 months,
mm-hmm.
because all these different things pop up. But I also want to make sure that he's happy still doing, because I need him, to be quite
right.
honest. I can't stay there till 9:30, 10 o'clock anymore. So it's very important for me that he stays a part of it. So I make sure that he gets his take every month. Man, I go months, I don't take anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
And then even Kim would say, why don't you hire people? Because there's not enough money to hire people.
Right.
And then if they screw it up, it's technically my league. Then I look like the jackass.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You have to, perhaps find someone who wants to take it over, but you retain a piece of it. Maybe,
yeah.
But
I suppose. The one thing, because I know my older son is really into... He's not sure if he wants to get into business ownership or if he wants to not necessarily do this, but get into the media. He likes the film, the TV, the video stuff, into YouTube and all those things. I don't think he's one of these kids that wants to be a YouTuber, but just in terms of putting together videos, because there's a lot of money out there,
mm-hmm.
in doing videos for people that they then post themselves. So he's got some ideas, but you know, he's always asking, what if I went into business and said, go for it. I mean, I will support you every which way. And now is the time. You're 19.
Yes.
Give it a try. And so he's come to me with a couple of ideas that I think we'll try, and I will help him and I'll be a part of it for him. But, you know, you don't know what the right thing to do is. Because, like, if you listen to his story, Michael Rubin's story, one of the things I wanted to get to at some point today was, he started his own like ski shop when mm-hmm. he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And was making $100,000 a year at 15.
Yeah.
Then the following year, as he tells the story, they had a snowless year and he went bankrupt. At 16, he went bankrupt and they had to hire lawyers to deal with the creditors. Like, how do you have the will at that point where you just lost a crap load of money to say, all right, well, that sucked. On to the next one.
Right.
And your parents got to be really supportive then,
yes.
too.
And like, right, and he couldn't even have a beer yet at that point.
No, couldn't drive.
Right. And that kind of personality, that's a rare thing. That's why there's not, you know, that's why everyone isn't a mogul, or a captain of industry. Because there are a select few who have that drive and vision to pull it off. And it's... not most people.
Now, let's say your wife's business, for whatever reason, went in the tank
mm-hmm.
next month. I mean, out. It just died for whatever reason.
Yeah.
If she then came, and it cost you money. If she then came to you, 90 days later, I got another idea, Ed. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be all in, or would you be like, we're close to retirement. You just killed us. Like,
yeah. Well, first of all, she wouldn't, like, that's not in her to, at this point, in our lives to do that, but mm-hmm. say if it was, 15 years ago. If she wanted to try it, sure.
You'd be all in.
But the way that her business is, it's not going to, bankrupt.
I know that. I know. I was saying...
But if it was a situation
theoretically,
like that, I would be supportive if she wanted to try it, sure.
Because I am, as you know, because you've heard me enough, I'm fascinated by business. Like, just how many people are out there, how much money is out there.
Mm-hmm.
People love spending money, as we were discussing yesterday. And it's just a matter of, can you find your niche and how big do you want to grow it? And the one thing I think more so people are afraid of success, I almost feel like people are afraid of success, not failure.
Yes. And that's why when her business really started to pick up and I was like, careful, this is going to turn into a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it is, in terms of the hours she puts in. Now, and then during the pandemic, her business was very busy, did very well. But now in the last year and a half, and this is industry-wide, mm-hmm. for all these independent yarn dyers, or indie dyers, as they call them, first of all, there's more of them because more people got into it during the pandemic, said, let me try this.
Yeah.
So there's more of them. There's a little bit of saturation. And also during the pandemic, people were buying yarn like crazy, and now they don't need anymore.
So it's really slowed down.
So it has slowed down significantly. But, and so she's not working as many hours. I'm not making as many trips to the post office and all that, to UPS and all that stuff, which is my part of the job, and putting together the kits and all this other
sure.
stuff. So that has slowed down. But she's okay with it. She's fine. I mean, financially, we're fine. We were never doing it to, you know, get rich off of it, or to have that be our primary income. But there were a few years there where her business brought in more than I did for a few years.
Yeah, sure.
Which was very nice. And it gave us some extra, you know, spending money and all that other stuff. So, but if it goes away tomorrow, it's fine.
But if it doesn't, it's something, because, I mean, as we now know, it's public, you are retiring in less than 2 years now.
Yes.
That is something that you guys will have in common.
Correct.
And something that you can still do together, as you don't have to get up at midnight or 1 a.m. anymore.
But there's certain parts of the business that I can do, you know, all the sort of non-creative stuff, if you will, all the, you know, the grunt work, if you will. But the actual artistic part of coming up with the color schemes and colorways and all that other stuff, and then the actual process of creating the correct dye mixture, I mean, I would really, she studied it for a long time,
right?
And a trial and error and all that, so she knows what she's doing now. But that's something that is beyond me, and there's certain other parts of it which are beyond me. But I could do a lot of the grunt work, where, you know, and that would help her, but I don't know how much she wants to. You know, I don't know how big she wants to grow it, if she even wants to grow it bigger than it is.
So that comes back to what I said about people being afraid of succeeding. And I don't mean that she's afraid to succeed, but I think there might be some apprehension of, if this actually works, I might be overrun and be busier than I
correct.
Want to be.
Right.
So you actually have to hire people.
Correct. And not just have me do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I said to her. Careful, this is going to turn into a full-time job. And for a stretch of about 4 years, it was
wow.
And it was, if she, and the nature of it, she's like on her feet for 8-10 hours a day doing stuff, so that's taxing.
Oh, it's beyond taxing.
So yeah, so that was, you know, she kind of then would think like, how much do I want to do this? And then the events, like the going to the New Jersey Fiber Festival and the Maryland Sheep and Wool and all these other things that you know, she used to go up to Hartford. She went out to California to do these events, which that she's scaling way back.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's only going to do 3 events or 2 events. Frederick Fiber Festival, one of them in Frederick, Maryland. So, you know, that part of it she wants to scale back. And she is in the process of doing that, so just because it's just too much, too taxing.
Understood. Let's say you retire, and after 6 months, and let's say she even, just because you got to follow along here, let's say she closes the business, she's had enough. It's enough. 6 months, you're into retirement, and all of a sudden, you know what? I do want to do something. Like, I'm good, but there's more. What else would you get into at this point?
Not
to pay the mortgage,
right?
But to give you something to do 3 days a week.
Yeah,
Have you ever thought about it?
No, I am not afraid of not having that sort of a structured situation. I'll be fine.
I know you've said that before, so you've never even thought about if I'm just a little bored.
No, well, I'd be thinking like, hey, what could I do that I like? You know, if I want to go, you know, for a hike with the dogs, or if I want to go for even a long walk in the neighborhood, or whatever the case may be, if I want to watch a movie that I've been meaning to watch for 20 years and never did, if I wanted to do research on something that really interests me,
whatever. What about writing?
What's that?
Would you write?
I can write. I don't love it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I know I can, but I just, it's not something that gives me any joy. I like when I write and I do something well and I can tell it's good or clever or whatever, but it's not something that, yeah, it doesn't spark me. I'll do it when I have to.
Right.
And then I'll do it well, but I just don't have any great interest in it. But I have a great interest in doing gardening. I love gardening. And you could spend, as
hours,
you know, as a homeowner.
Yep.
And to also not to go into anything too complicated, but like to learn to watch the YouTube do-it-yourself videos, to learn how to do household projects that don't involve electricity.
Yep.
Or getting on a ladder and going up on the roof and killing myself.
But
all those other kind of things, that, and again, as a homeowner, you, as you know, that is a never-ending situation.
Oh,
so man. I am not at all afraid of being bored in retirement. That is not me. Because in general, I'm really never bored at all. I'm just not.
Yeah, I get that. Yes. But your days are also very long during the week because of this.
Yeah.
Retirement's different. Retirement is all of a sudden you're not going to bed at 6:30 and then you're not out of the house from 1:30 until you get home at noon, where you're really not filling a whole lot of time during the day, as opposed to you love getting up early. In retirement, you might, I know my father-in-law, until he passed away, was still getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'll be doing that.
Right, in retirement, and he'd stay up till 9. He still got his 8 hours sleep. He'd probably sleep 9:30 to 5:30, but that's a long-ass day, 5:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. There's a lot of hikes and walks in there that you're talking about filling 16 hours every day, you know?
Yeah, but and not worried about it.
Oh, and I think that's great. I mean, that's... It concerns me, which is why I don't think I'll ever stop working.
Yeah, that's why I know you're one of those people who are.
I can't sit still.
Right. And I see, I can and just be, you know, whatever, research or whatever, contemplate things.
Sure.
But that's why, you know, all different types of people.
Oh, there's no question.
And back to the Ruben interview, I was not expecting to be engaged at all. But I was, because he's one of those people.
He reminds me of Craig.
He makes you care what he's talking about.
Yep, very engaging.
Very entertaining. And the way it worked logistically, at one point I asked the guys during the first part of the interview, I said, can he stay? Meaning, if you guys wanted to do a second segment, I even said it into your ear. And they're like, no, we got to do this thing. I was like, oh, okay. And then he wanted to stay.
He did.
Ruben. Yep. So they went into my office, did their other hit interview. And then I was kind of checking in on that. That's why we broke early with season. Mm-hmm. That's how that evolved.
Worked out very well.
It did.
He's, like I said, having one. There are certain people I can just listen to. And those are the ones that are the motivational speakers, that are good storytellers. He is one that just, his energy, the way he delivers his message, he keeps you engaged in the conversation. That's why, and I'm not making fun or being, I would have liked to have asked more questions.
Sure.
Because I did a lot of research on this guy.
But you knew Boomer, that was a Boomer domination spot.
Oh, no. I did. I was just hoping for a couple more.
Yeah, but a little more.
That's okay.
A few little crumbs.
I mean, the first segment, I got one question.
Yeah, I know.
One.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I raised my hand.
And now, besides the Boomer domination, he was very detailed and...
Yes.
I don't want to say long-winded because that sounds bad, but he answered
detailed.
Long, yes.
Oh, yeah, and he gave you what you... He never deflected. He answered the question. And the one thing I did, I've been in this... You know, I've done enough shows with Boomer now where we've had guests in. There have been enough of them that don't even look your way. They're just engaged with Boomer. And I get that, and I totally understand that. When I asked him the question, he didn't look a Boomer. He was right to me.
Yeah.
Which was nice. It's nice to, you know.
And I think he was appreciative of your interest in his way of doing things.
Oh, for sure. I really had there were other things about business I wanted to ask him about.
Right.
And his work ethic and all sorts of things.
And Boomer's was more, what about this? It was specific things.
Which was great.
Yours was more of a philosophy and motivation and all that stuff, which I think he appreciated.
Yeah, and I think the audience, listens to that, and I think, like me, you're almost blown away. Like, how is this guy? Like, think about a couple of things that came out in that interview. He's 51. All right, I'm 50. Fine. Mm-hmm. He has been a part owner of the Devils. He was a part owner of the 76ers. Mm-hmm. He started a, which we didn't even get into, a monster company online back in 1990, maybe 2002. I forget what year it was, early 2000s, that he sold to eBay for $2.4 billion. Like, I don't know. My tiny little company between, you know, the apparel stuff that we do for fun, the cornhole, whatever else I have, I'm worried about the taxes and the finances and this and that. He's talking about a company worth billions mm-hmm. of dollars, and he was doing that at the age of like 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, holy crap, is that I'm impressed by it.
Sure.
You know, and those are the little things I wanted to get into, but all good either
way. Yeah, well, he may come back.
Yeah, he would be, as he is, a great podcast interview
where
he can curse, there's no time limit, and we just go through crap,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's interesting for people to hear, I really do.
Sure, and maybe one day he wants to buy a radio station, who knows?
He's got the money.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Fanatic, I mean, the fan, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, sure it does.
Fanatics TV. You never know.
I like it.
You never know. All right. Well, thank you for sitting in again, sir.
Sure.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. One more time.
All right. Coming up next, they call it Flelo. Lopresti and Fliegelman on the warm-up show. As I will be back to my rightful spot tomorrow. G's back. We're all back except Al. So you got the final word.
See you.